Turn to what chapter, guys? John chapter 1. You say, well, we're going to be in Matthew. That's what we should be in. And yes, we should. But they don't always go the way you want them to. And I had to be in Lubbock first thing this morning. And the time I got back here and got settled in and got started studying, that's when Justin had his accident. And that had me tied up till late afternoon. Came in and thought I would be able to get finished with my lesson out of Matthew. And it was just going to be not good enough, not thorough enough, and not what you deserve. And so what I did was took some old notes and spent the afternoon kind of refreshing them and making them where they'll be hopefully helpful to you. So we'll get back to the other the next time we're together. But we're in John chapter 1, just going to talk to you for a few minutes about the most tried and true method that there is for reaching people for Christ. It's a way, what I'm going to talk to you about is the most effective way, the most successful way to win people to Jesus. And in spite of the way the world has changed and technology and methods and all of this has changed with churches, and we embrace all of that. We have Facebook and we have mobile alerts and all the various things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But throughout history, this is a foolproof way to bring people to Jesus. We all have relationships, every one of us. There's nobody in this auditorium that doesn't have some relationships. Friends, coworkers, neighbors, family members, classmates, if you're in school. Every single person carries a certain amount of influence over those people, and that influence can be used to get people to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go ahead and read our text see a good example of this. It's in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 35, and it says, "And again the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples." Now, it's talking about John the Baptist, okay? John the Baptist stood with two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and then they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following him, and said unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." So they came and saw where he dwelt, and they abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said unto him, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. So the five key words that we want to notice here, you find in verse 42, it says, "He brought him to Jesus." And this is something that every one of us can do. You can bring people to Jesus. Andrew was a brand new Christian. And I have found that sometimes brand new Christians are more effective bringing people to Christ than those who are seasoned Christians, simply because brand new Christians are excited and they have zeal, and they're so excited about their walk with God that they start telling other people about that, and they're, again, many times more aggressive and more thorough and more creative about how they're going to get their friends to church than we people who perhaps have been Christians for 25, 30, 45 years, whatever. We kind of get a little bit lazy. We get a little less excited. When I was a newborn Christian, I was very, very, those early years, I was very enthusiastic. I wanted everybody to know the Lord. I especially wanted my friends to come to church with me. Andrew, being a new Christian here, he didn't know much about the ins and outs of Christianity. He just didn't. It was too early. But he was a new believer, didn't know much, but he did know that he wanted to bring others to Christ. And so he told Peter, he says, "Come and go with me." He couldn't tell him from a theological standpoint about Jesus. He didn't know enough to do that. He just says, come and go with me. And that's very much like inviting someone to church. Anybody can say, hey, come and go with me to church. Come visit our church and invite someone. And you don't have to be able to speak and talk theology to be able to do that. And you can simply say, hey, I'd like to invite you. Brag on your church a little bit. If you're in a church that you can't brag on, then go find a church you can brag on, okay? And brag on your church a little bit and say, here, come and go with me. Our church does this and does that, and you'll feel at home there, and it's a loving church, and we welcome you as you are. You come dressed as you are. It doesn't have to be anything fancy, and just kind of tell them about the church and brag on the church, and you'd be surprised at how effective you'll be to get people to church. You might say, well, where do I start? Who do I start with? Probably the first thing is just start with the people you have things in common with. If you're a coworker, perhaps, we find here in this in another gospel account that Andrew was a fisherman, and also Peter, James, and John were fishermen. Okay, so you got four fishermen that came together and ended up being disciples. Birds of a feather flock together, they say, okay? You may have a common, something somebody you work with, y'all have that in common. Maybe somebody that you have a hobby with, you're a golfer or whatever. It could be somebody that your kids play on the same ball team, so you find yourself sitting in the bleachers together. Whatever it is, it gives you a voice with that person. That connection does. Most of you know I have an audience with cowboys to an extent, because I have some experience there and I speak that language. And you say, well, you cuss real bad. No, not that language, but I speak the language. And because of my background, whatever that I have. And if you've noticed, ironically, it's kind of Sunday morning, we had three ropers here. And why is that? It's because I started roping about again a couple of years ago, and Commie's a roper too, and we got a friend here tonight that's with us. He's also a roper, and so that's just the circles we move in, and so we invite people to church, and you know, you might again, it could be golf, it could be your kids are in the same class at school, it could be any number of things. Okay, just exercise that principle. Making the most of the influence that you have, and everyone has a realm of influence. And it could be you think about James and John, when Jesus found them, they were mending their nets. They were at work. First time you find the first time you find Aquila and Priscilla in the book of Acts. Paul was connecting with them because Paul was a tent maker and they were tent makers. And so they threw in together and set up camp together, set up shop together. And the first thing you know, they're serving the Lord together, okay? Think about your family. We all have family. Simon Peter was Andrew's brother. Andrew's first item of business when he met Jesus was to make sure his brother met Jesus. And that's what we just read about. We all want to see our families in heaven. We might not want them to live next door to us in heaven, but we all have family members that we want to see in heaven. And I'm glad at this stage in my life that a great many of my family are Christians, because it hadn't been that, always been that way. But I have a great many more that I'd like to see come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And there's still more people that I want to win out of my family. You love your family, I know you do. And so just like Andrew, you can bring them to Jesus. Beyond people that we have common ground with, beyond family members, we can all just talk to people and be friendly. People in general, people we encounter at the post office, people that we're sitting next to at a ball game. You can just make small talk on the elevator at the hospital or whatever. in the grocery store, in front of the school, waiting for your kids to get out. These are opportunities. It doesn't mean that you have to come on strong and just thumping the Bible, so to speak. Just engage people. And again, if in the very least, if you can't just share the gospel with them, at least be a friendly face and say, hey, you know, while we're talking here, let me tell you, our church is over by the football field. We've got a nice little church family. We just learn about the Bible together, and it's important to us bring others to visit. So would you come be my guest at church? And I'm telling you, all of these things are things that we can do. And I know you may be shy, but it's easier than you think. And when I first became a Christian, I was very insecure about being in front of people or talking to people that I didn't know, extremely. But I did, you know, you guys can't get me to shut up now, because, you know, over time I developed the ability to communicate with people and step out of my comfort zone, and you can do the very same thing. I know you can, okay? Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30 says this. It says, he that winneth souls is wise. Even a plain old fisherman like Andrew had no particular credentials, no resume, so to speak, no experience with public speaking or anything else, but he could bring people to Jesus just simply by inviting. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. God's saying, there's always saved people out there. I mean, excuse me, lost people that need to be saved, and I just need more workers. We don't want to leave God shorthanded, do we? And so we need to be about the business of inviting people and telling them about Jesus. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 14 and verse 23, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. As long as there's vacancies in the pews, then we've got work to do. As long as there's a space for them, then, because he says that my house may be filled. And so we've always got something we can be doing. But let me caution you with this. One of the greatest obstacles to getting the pews filled is when we invite people to church or we invite people to follow Christ, but we're not following him ourselves. Hear me out on this, okay? I always hate it when a visitor comes, and I'm in a position where I've tried to embrace every single visitor and introduce myself, and I often say, somebody invite you? Are you looking for someone? Are you with someone? And they say, such and such, so and so, and they're not here. And they hadn't been here in 3 weeks. In fact, if they come back, I'm going to think they're a visitor, okay? And that's always kind of disappointing to me, because I thought you invited this person to church, and obviously there's reasons sometimes that you can't get to the house of God. But it's so important that we ourselves are doing what we're inviting them to do, and that's being faithful to the house of God. Being faithful and when we invite people and being faithful to the house of God, but also living a life that is in line with what we're saying we are. Living a life, you know, we're inviting people to the house of God because presumably we're Christians, right? And we want them to, if they're already Christians, we want them to worship with us. But if they're not Christians, we want them to come to know Christ. But if we have loose lives, we live recklessly, our language is reckless, our testimony is not something that would be appealing, then not only will that not get them to church, but it will deter them from going to church. When people don't see the light in us, and we're telling them about the light, but we don't shine the light ourselves, it can be a deterrent. And so we need to let our life, as the scripture says, adorn the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that our invitation to come to church or our testimony to whoever we're talking to or witnessing is appealing to them because we're appealing. We're showing Christ. We're shining our light. And there's no greater message that you and I can preach than just putting a godly life on display for that person. And if a godly life accompanies our invitation, then there's a really good chance that that people will respond eventually. Just don't give up. You invite somebody once, they might not come immediately, but don't give up. Pray for them and invite them again when you see them. Okay, Andrew didn't he didn't say in this text, he didn't say the Messiah has come. He says in verse 41, we have found a Messiah. You see, he's speaking personally. He's relaying to his brother his own personal experience. And that's something every one of us can do. But if we're not walking with the Lord ourselves, then we don't have a lot of experience to share with them. But when we're walking closely, we can just tell them. We can't convince people to come to Christ if we ourselves, we can't convince somebody to go where we haven't gone ourselves. And that's just simply put, the greatest evangelistic tool in this building right now is you. Absolutely. Now you say, well, the Word of God, yes, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But if that person doesn't have a Bible in their hand to get the Word of God, you're the best tool to be used to get them to the house of God to hear the Word of God. And that's just how that worked. So it says in verse 41 that Andrew first findeth his brother. Andrew left there that day. Now, he'd spent the day with Jesus because John said that's the Lamb of God. He knew he'd found the Christ. He spent the day with Jesus, and he left there that day with a person in mind. It happened to be his brother, okay, Simon Peter. But he had a person in mind. If you and I will get a person or multiple people in our mind before, ahead of time, and say, I'm going to try to get that person to church, these pews will be full if every single person did that. Say, I'm going to pray, I'm going to use what influence I have, and I'm going to try to get this person to the house of God. And if you'll do that, I'm telling you, if you leave here tonight with a person in mind, and you put feet to that, and you put your effort into that, there'll be a lot of people here Sunday morning, a lot of extra people. I promise you there will be. He says, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. And there's nothing that's going to please Jesus more than that his house be full this Sunday, okay? And so you may say that inviting people is not so winning, but I beg to differ. So winning is getting a person to Christ one way or another. If all you can do is invite them to church and they come and they sit in a pew and hear the Word of God, and respond to the Word of God, then you've just won a soul, though you just invited them, okay? And so, yes, and inviting is so winning. It, not to say that we shouldn't testify, not to say that we shouldn't witness, but we should also invite. So the question is, as we dismiss in a word of prayer, who are you going to have in mind when you walk out of here? Who are you going to get in your mind? All right, let me just ask you to stand, and we will be dismissed in a word of prayer. I hope you have a good remainder of the week. And pray for Justin, going to be bunged up and bruised and hurting for a few days. And pray for our services Sunday, and we'll see you then, okay? Stacy, will you lead us in prayer, please?